Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Richard, hi. It's podcast time. So that means hide your kids.
Who used
kids,
to do that?
Hide your wife.
Who used to do that? Come on.
Richard, it's podcast time?
No.
Richard,
you
what's happening?
Richard in a voice. Richard, what's happening?
What's happening? I have no idea.
Tommy
Should
boy.
I know? Tommy boy. Yes. Richard, what's happening? That is really good.
And when you just said, it's podcast time, what's that?
I don't know, dude. You're asking. Give me, this is way too much. My brain's going to explode, and we didn't even start yet.
You're doing a Pauly D impression.
Pauly
D. Cavs are here.
Cavs are here. I'm sorry. That was Tom. You just did a Tommy Boy and a Jersey Shore reference. Whoa. This is clearly a podcast, not for kids. Okay. It's about kids. It's not, we're not talking about the Jersey Shore. We're not talking about Tommy Boy. We're talking about kids, not for them. You have been warned.
Bam.
What's your name?
Owl.
Who am I?
Honestly, just love living somewhere, guys. Just I want to tell you that.
You're living somewhere. What are you talking about?
No.
Well, you're living in a bunch of different places right now. But, I mean, you still have a roof over your head wherever you go.
No, of course. You know, I'm just saying, be grateful that you have, like, one place that you are in every day. Right? That is your home base. Because I'm doing, as you know, or you might not know, we're doing renovations on our house in California. So I've been staying in Texas at my in-law's house.
On a farm where you have some calves, one whose name is Penis.
Penis, thanks to my daughter, yes.
Yes.
So I'm at a place, I don't know how to describe it. People could be the most hospitable, people could be welcoming and loving, but you can't permanently be a guest.
No, you can't. And you probably, and what are they, what, it was in a movie, or it's like one of those sayings, like, house guests are like fish. After 3 days, they start to smell, right? Like do you smell yet, Rich?
Your in-laws? Yeah, a little thing. No, but even something like that, you start to be like, well, you're using their shampoos and soaps. Like, you're not even in your own smell.
Yeah, right. So you're starting to smell like them, even. Do you feel like you smell like your mother-in-law?
You have a toiletry bag like you're in a hotel, but it's very long-term.
Yeah.
Like, I just am so anxious to be able to sit on my own couch.
Yeah.
Lay in my own bed.
Oh, yeah.
Yell at my kids in my own place.
Talk dirty to me.
In my own place.
How far away from that are we?
I think maybe like 6 weeks.
Oof. All right. You can do this. I believe in you. So quickly speaking, this is Have Kids, they said. I don't think we mentioned that yet.
Yeah. Hola, what's up?
Hola. It'll be fun, they said. Speaking of the talking dirty, Matt got so excited. We had the nanny today, and he, like, comes into the room, and he just shuts the door, and he locks it, and he looks at me, and I was like, no, no. And he was like, come on, please, the nanny's here. And I was like, Parker is in our bathroom right now, and she is shitting. So if you feel like doing it while your daughter's right behind that door, let's get it on, baby.
Wow.
Just can't get away. So,
By the way, man. Can we call out liars?
Sure. Fuck you, liars.
I want to call it liars.
All right, let's call
liar
them out.
Liar number one.
Yeah?
Is the married person with multiple children that acts as though they're sexually active all the time.
Yeah, it's false. I mean, we're lucky if we do it once a week. And I try to push for that because I just feel like I'm like a horrible human if I don't. But it's not easy. And especially in the pandemic, it's even less easy. But yeah, with kids, no. It doesn't happen as much anymore.
Who are these people?
Yeah, I don't know. Who's saying it? If you have people telling you this? No, you people telling you?
Who are these horny people that are like, oh, yeah, like, you know, like multiple times a week. We got kids and everything. Like, who are you?
Yeah. I mean, some people are able to turn it on and turn it off more than others. I am not one of those people. Like, it really takes me a minute to, like, relax and, like, get there. Like, I'm not, I can't. And you need to be able to do that if you have kids. You need to be able to turn it on and off. And I'm not that
girl. Can I tell you?
Sure.
The daily routine of my life. And I know we're going to get people looking down at their phone saying, huh, oh, man, him and I live in the same life.
Okay. All right.
It's the put the kids to bed. But you're really going to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's us. You know, I mean, you don't. And then see, you always make fun of me and you always say that I'm such a loser who like goes right to falls asleep on the couch. Like, that's you now. You can't keep your eyes open.
I'm saying my wife every day has the intention of I'm going to put the kids down to bed and then I'll come back out into the living room wherever the hell I am.
Oh, and you go to sleep with them.
She never reemerges.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. She goes in, but she never comes back out.
It's like 8 or 9 o'clock, and I'm like, all right, any minute now, Sarah's going to come out here. We could start a movie or, you know, have a drink or something. And it's like, well, it's 9:30. Well, it's 10 o'clock. Yeah, she's out. It's done. And then I just like, then my decision is, do I let her sleep where she is or try to even give her the nudge like, hey, come to bed.
Oh, I don't get that. Matt comes in, shakes me awake and goes, come out and have dinner. We're watching a show or go walk the dog and then get into bed. I don't really even get anything like, oh, honey, oh, she's sleeping. No, he like comes in and is like, wake up. Like he's annoyed that I would have possibly fallen asleep. You lay in a dark room with a child listening to a sound machine or whatever the fuck your kid listens to. And I dare you not to fall asleep.
My kid listens to Ja Rule.
Wouldn't that be so cool if she did?
Yeah, random 2000s artists. Like, yeah, my kid just really loves
Baby
Always
Girl,
On Put
Time. It On Me.
My kid loves Nelly as well. My kids love 90s rappers. 2000s hip-hop pop stars.
Wait, were you still on the morning mashup? Because if you don't know, Rich and I used to work together. Were you still on the morning mashup when Nelly came in and we played a game where every time we asked him trivia questions and every time he got something wrong, he had to put a Band-Aid on his face?
No, I was not there for that totally humiliating, like, I can't believe he went along with it game.
God, news alert, he did not. I ended up putting a Band-Aid on my face every time he got something wrong. Yeah, he was not feeling it, but he was okay. He was cool putting the Band-Aids on my face. All right, man, this is week 10 million of the pandemic. Actually, this is like the anniversary of when we first went into lockdown, right, this week?
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. I love you.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about the pandemic. I'm talking happy 1 year anniversary of Joe Exotic.
It was not a year. We had a little bit of time into the pandemic. Also, quickly, before we get into what we hate, are you team Meghan and Harry or team the Queen? Say it. I need to know.
I hate when you ask me questions about shit I don't care about or shouldn't care about.
I don't care if you
but
don't care.
But I will say this. I feel like the royal family is something that we should care 0.0 about.
Any American
that gives their attention towards a royal, weird, archaic, stupid fucking situation in another land is wasting their time. However, I will say this. I love that they're starting to expose the racism and craziness. Yeah. Like the fact that there was someone in the royal family that questioned the color of the baby.
100% Prince Philip.
I watched it.
Not
just
Prince
for that.
Philip. Sorry, Prince Charles. Not Prince Philip. Not Prince Philip. Prince Charles. 100% Prince Charles.
Who was
it?
Do you know? They won't say who it was.
I think it is. It sounds like it was. I mean, all things lead to Prince Charles. When I go back and I try to like read into everything that they were saying. I don't know. I don't really care about the royals, but I was fascinated by the whole Oprah interview. Okay. Anyways, let's talk about what we hate. Okay. Let's get it. Don't we hate? Why? What are you laughing at me for?
I'm laughing at you because you are one of the people that are like, oh, who cares about the royal family? Meanwhile, you are invested.
I'm only invested since the Oprah thing. Before that, I didn't give a fuck at all. I never like read any of that stuff.
Yo, okay. Know what they pretty much pointed out? That every family has like that racist uncle or aunt or someone, right? Like,
100%.
Like everyone's got one shitty person in their family.
Yeah, or
the
or
royal
multiple.
Family pretty much, the or royal family shit. Pretty much was like, yeah, we had like some random person that was like questioning the color of a baby.
Yeah, that's I can't even talk about it because it makes me feel awkward and I want to go get in the fetal position. Okay, something that we did get to do that I was super excited about is we went back to the movies last weekend.
Oh, yeah?
So Friday night, one of the movie theaters near us opened up, and that movie, Raya and the Last Dragon, not Raya, what am I, like, boomer? Raya and the Last Dragon opened up in the theaters, and listen, it was like us and maybe two other families with like two or three people in them, but that was it. So it felt like it was our own theater. And it was kind of sad, to be honest, but I do believe people will go back to the movies eventually. But anyways, we could have watched it at home. It was out, like, you could watch it on Disney or whatever it was out on. But we decided to go just have the experience because it felt like an activity to do with the kids and get them the fuck out of the house, looking at another screen. So we are watching, and I'm sorry, spoiler alert, something horrible happens to this poor girl's parents yet again. And this is what I hate. I hate that no matter what movie I watch, what Disney movie I watch, I have to have a death conversation with my kids. We might have discussed this quickly, but whether it's like Frozen or Bambi, or I mean, honestly, go back to almost every, at least Disney princess movies, and something horrible has happened to the parents. And they sometimes explain it. Sometimes it's straight up, they just died with Anna and Elsa. They got lost at sea. And this one, in this one, again, I don't think I'm spoiling that much. Her dad turns to stone. The fuck, man? And then it's just like gone, like turns to stone. And Parker looks at me and is like, and I was like, we're not doing this right now. I'm not having a death conversation with you. I just hate it. Why does Disney do it? They're blatantly for kids. Death is not for kids. Why are we talking about this?
Bambi was a sad one when we were kids.
Horrible. But you know probably what, the worst one.
I think, no, because you don't see it. The roughest one to watch with from a kid's point of view. Lion King. Simba watches his dad fall and die and get trampled.
Wait a minute. Yeah, it's not just the dying. They had to do the tramp. Oh my God, Dumbo too. Remember Dumbo? Oh God, Disney, why do you do this to us?
And by the way, you're talking about these Disney movies and dealing with death and trying to explain it to your kids. The craziest part about Frozen is that they address the parents dying during the sad musical interlude to Do You Want to Build a Snowman?
Yep. And the way that they do it is it took a big, it's a picture in their like castle of the parents, and they just like pull like a curtain down over them.
Yeah. Now they're dead. No, they present the painting. It's like, they're dead. Here's a painting of them.
Yeah. And it's like, do, 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 but like not that happy. It's like super fucked up. And
then they go right back to, do you want to build a snowman? It's like, mom and dad just died. No, chill.
Died. It's horrible. I just like, it's just like a very basic thing. Like, you're Disney, you're serving children. And so like, why is that always at the center of your universe in movies? It's just, it honestly, like, she looked at me and I looked at her like, don't even start, kid. Like, she knew. I was like, I don't want any fucking questions about death right now. I cannot handle it. Plus, you know, I've told you the infamous story about when my grandmother died and we went to the funeral and I told her that we were going to say goodbye to my grams. And when we got there at the funeral, she said, where is she? And I was so upset. I said, she's in there, as they lowered the casket into the ground. She was like, she's in there. She thought we were just going to go say goodbye and like hug her. Oh. So like, death is fucked, man. Don't put it in Disney movies. What are you doing?
I'm with you.
Thank you.
I feel you.
Thank you.
That's something to hate. I'm, you know, Nicole, I'm all over the place today because I'm thinking of a million things. I'm trying to remember when I first learned about death as a kid.
Yeah.
For people my age, if you're roughly 40, I know you're a little younger, Nicole. Even though you look 40.
Fuck you. Kidding. I am not 40 yet.
Kidding. It is kidding. Not happening. Fantastic.
Although Parker did say the other day, you're going to be 40 soon. And I was like, no, I'm not. Not even soon. It's a blatant lie. Keep going.
Mr. Hooper on Sesame Street.
Oh my God. Mr. Hooper has aged, man, right?
He's dead. What do you mean, has he aged?
Oh,
you're thinking of Bob.
Bob.
Mr. Hooper died, and I remember that was like the lesson of like, what happened to Mr. Hooper?
He aged into the ground.
He aged to die. Mr. Hooper.
No, but I still watch some of the old episodes because you can watch them, you know,
on HBO. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that might be. I don't think I remember that he died, to be honest. And Maria, they're all just like gray, which is like very sad because when we watched, they weren't. Yeah. Anyways, Disney, stop with the Disney death. I'm done with the Disney death. Okay. Hey, Rich.
Yeah.
What do you hate? No, seriously, what do you hate this week? I just went on quite an angry tangent. I apologize.
Yeah, no, listen, we're all over the place, but that's fine. ADD podcasting at its finest.
Seriously.
I mean, we're both scattered parents. By the way, when people said like mom or dad brain, I was like, I don't know what that means.
Yes, you do.
I can't remember shit now. Someone will be like, hey, what did you watch last night? And I'll be like, you know that movie with the guy and the girl? I'm like, am I brain dead?
Well, it's bad when in our profession because we're both on the radio for a living, like, and like doing podcasting and audio entertainment. So when you're like literally sitting there talking, you're like, so like I got into my, you know, the thing that has wheels and the door and you can
the car,
like when you can't think of basic words, you're fucked, man. It's bad.
Do you have a little more sympathy for Stanley T, who you work with on the Morning Mashup now?
Zero. Zero sympathy. Yeah, that's a different type of brain. It's a different type of mom and dad brain.
Let me tell you about what I hate this week. And again, I'm going a little serious. You're going death in kids shows. I'm going that I feel like I'm not growing apart from my friends, but I feel as though I don't relate to the friends where I live the way I could relate to my friends in Texas or New York. Let me give you a little backstory.
Okay,
I'm from
yeah.
New York originally.
Yes, we know.
I moved out to Los Angeles, but
correct.
My wife's from Texas, and that's where we're staying now. So all of my wife's childhood friends have kids that are like 2, 3, 5, 7, 6, like, you know, elementary school kids or babies. In New York, you, our buddy Mark, my high school friends,
yeah.
my college pals, all on the East Coast, have little toddlers, kids, infants,
right.
or whatever, right? We could go out, grab lunch. The kids could play while everyone's chatting, having drinks.
Right, right.
In L.A., all my friends and my circle of people are all like roughly 40 with no kids.
Interesting.
And
well, I mean, it's L.A. I mean.
Yeah, but I think it's to the point now where I feel like I'm growing apart where I have so little in common with these people.
Well, this is a problem seeing as you just bought a house there. So are you, yeah. and you're seeing like where you are in, currently in Texas. I mean, is there a possibility you'd ever just like switch it up, sell that house and maybe stay in Texas?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm only out there for professional reasons, you know, so that I could become
right.
the next host of Card Sharks and or a $100,000 pyramid and, you know, be a big TV star. But no, if I have talked to Sarah about like if, you know, if in a couple years I'm working at SiriusXM and podcasting on my own and doing stuff where I don't need to be in Los Angeles.
Right.
I feel like we have such a better circle of relatable friend situations in Texas or New York.
Interesting.
Like, think about it, Nicole. You hang out with friends that have kids also a lot of times.
Yeah, no, almost always. And that's the only way. Like, it's all about how can we hang out, have, like, adult hang / adult sleepovers, drink, but also at the same time make the children happy and have fun. As long as they're playing and we're drinking, all is well in the world. So if
you
that
just,
can't happen, what?
You just described the social situation that happens down here in Texas on the weekly. Hey, you
right.
want to meet for breakfast tacos? Yeah, we'll go to that place. It's a place called Herbert's, by the way. It's
like,
really good, but
a
what a lame name for a taco place.
It's a terrible name for anybody. I'm sorry if there's a Herbert listening. Herb. At least call it Herb's.
But they have a playground in the back. So
perfect.
We'll go have breakfast tacos, a couple drinks, and the kids are in eye shot right there
yes.
on the playground.
Dream. It's dreamy.
Now, in L.A., when it's like, I have friends, it's like a Wednesday night, and they're like, yeah, you want to get a drink? I'm like, yeah, it's like bedtime right now for my kids. Like,
well, you know, you just said our friend Mark, they have a kid now, but they used to like be like, they used to live down the street from us. And like, we had both the kids at this point, and they'd call them on like, I don't know, Friday night and just be like, yo, come downstairs. We're at this bar or something. You want to have a drink? And I'm like, yeah, you know what? The kids, they'll just take care of themselves. We'll be right there. They're sleeping, but
yeah.
we'll be right down for a cocktail. Like, yeah, I mean, it's you have to start to hate your crew if you don't have that anymore.
Yeah, I'm not trying to sound like an overdramatic bitch, but the reality is I feel as though when your friends and you start going down different life paths, you're still friends, you're still best
right.
buds, or
yeah.
you know, they're still your girlfriends, Nicole, but it's hard to hang with them the same way if you're living different lives. And I feel like
it.
Where I live in LA, all my friends are like 40 with no kids, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh, so dude, did you have parent? Oh, you don't have parent-teacher conferences, do you? Because you Emmy's like, well, Ben's like still kind of blobby. He's one, and Emmy's only like in like a little preschool thing, right?
By the way, did you see on my Instagram at Rich Davis Ben taking some steps?
I did, and it was the cutest. And when Sarah let go of him, like she had her arms out and she let go, and I was like, oh my god, I wish this video was in slow motion. It was very sweet, made me cry.
I'm gonna put it in slow motion just for you.
Please, can you do that? I don't know if you can take a video and then change it to slow mo.
You could.
I'm sure
so,
you
by
can.
The way, side note.
Yeah.
My daughter's 3 and my son is 1. No parent-teacher conferences, but anytime they go to daycare or preschool, they send them back with like little notes every day or every week. And I'm always wondering if my kid's really well-behaved or they're just mailing it in.
Yeah, I don't think that they're mailing it in. Like, I think that you, from what you've described, and I'll tell you because I had a similar situation with Keegan, but what, like, I think from what you described, Emmy sounds like a good girl for the most part, even with you. And when she's bad, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And I find that kids are usually better when they're not with you. So when they're with like a counselor or a nanny or a teacher or someone like at like some extracurricular activity, they're usually just better behaved for them. And then they're just fucking little assholes for you because you're their parent. So no, she probably is very good.
They're checking off like all, it's like a little one sheet, like what's her temperament? It's like happy, Emmy was the class leader today for the walk.
Yeah.
And she did this and she did that. I'm like, who's this perfect child you're describing?
Oh man, that's 100%. And plus it's like their job to like constantly keep them active. Like we give up and we don't want to do it. So they like resent us.
Yeah, watch Cocomelon.
Okay, exactly. Here's your iPad. So we had this year, obviously, is very annoying. Normally you could like go into the school, kind of meet with all the teachers quickly, or just have one big parent teacher conference. Now it's like you meet up with the remote teacher. So I met with Parker's teacher that she meets with in person, and her remote teacher, and then randomly her music teacher this year. And then I had Keegan's remote teacher and then his in-person teacher. It was a whole ugly mess. Anyways, let's focus on Keegan's. Okay.
Let's first focus on me, because I got to tell you.
Oh, your hair is looking amazing.
My hair does look good.
It does.
My memories of parent teacher conferences were amazing. I looked forward to them.
Because you were good.
I was such a good kid.
Yeah. So why are you even questioning about Emmy?
I was such a good kid that where some kids are like, oh no, parent teacher conference, I'll be exposed. Ah!
Yeah.
Like I looked at it as like, all right, everybody, tell my parents how fucking great I am.
And rich on display.
And here, mom, is where you're gonna meet with my social studies teacher, so he could tell you that I'm fucking great. And then you're gonna go to see my English teacher, who could tell you what a great vocabulary I have. Oh, and then you're gonna meet with my music teacher, so he could say, Rich really has been practicing his saxophone.
His do re mi fa sol la ti do's
The idea of my parents being in the school was always weird too. Like, you know when you would forget a book at school and you would go there afterwards? Anytime you were in your school,
yes.
During the regular school hours, was always totally. Like, ooh.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, Keegan, as you guys are growing to know, he isn't always a great kid. So I was worried from my parent-teacher conference with him, or with his teacher, sorry, not with him. He wasn't a part of it. So I went in and we sat down and she kind of was like, quiet, and it's like kind of awkward. It's weird because you're not talking to them in person. You're sitting with them on a freaking Zoom screen like we've been doing for the past year. And she kind of just was like awkward, kind of like, and we might have been like the 10th one that day because they do them all in a matter of like a day or two. So they must be over it and exhausted. So she's kind of looking at us, and I'm like, it was like this awkward silence for a second. And I was like, I got to change her name. Her name will be Doris. We'll call his teacher Doris. So Miss Doris is like, I don't know why I said Doris. So Miss Doris is like, so, and I was like, it's all right. How bad is it? How bad is it? He's really bad, isn't he? Like, yeah,
you're leading her down a path.
I was so nervous. You guys know the stories about him. He isn't good. He's a bad kid. Like, he's not like a bad kid, but he's just challenging. And so she kind of looks at me and went, what? Like, how could I say that? Like, he's an angel.
What is he doing? Is he smoking cigarettes on the playground? He's four.
Well, I was like, is he spitting? Is he kicking? What's he doing? And Matt looked at me like, you fucking asshole. She proceeded to give him like this most glowing review ever. So, you know, he's super into his numbers. As you've heard, he's just like the count from Sesame Street. 1, 2, 3 cookies. Anyways, so he is, and she said that, so I was like, oh God, he's like the weird Rain Man who's like, you know, like just constantly counting and pointing out the numbers of everything. And she's saying he's, you know, he's into addresses. So he knows his address because we taught it to him, and he is asking other kids what their address is and all the teachers what their address is. Now, they're in preschool. Normally, that'd be kind of, like, weird, but, like, they're telling him because it's the numbers, and it's important for kids to learn their address, so they use it as, like, a learning experience. So at lunch, he goes around and asks everybody their address, and she goes, yeah, so it's very, very cute, and then Matt goes, are you ready for this? Matt goes, yeah, he remembers him. He comes home. He told us your address, just so you know. Oh, God. Okay, so... And then he looked at me, and I was like, he looked at me like he was like, why did I say that? that. Like, he was trying to make it funny because it was kind of awkward, and it is always awkward, especially now. But he was like, yeah, he came home, he told us your address, just so you know. Huh? And he did, like, a weird little, like, creepy laugh. And then I was just like, shut the fuck up. I muted us for a second. I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, I'll finish. So, like, now, and she kind of was like, like, she didn't know what to do or say because he just made it like he was going to stalk our freaking kid's preschool teacher. So just saying, if we're making a do's and don'ts list, don't tell the teacher of your child that you are going to stalk them at their home because you know where they live.
I feel like parent-teacher conference. God. Appears to be a nightmare for everyone involved. Meanwhile, like I told you, I loved them as a student because I was a good student. But
right.
I'm reading a lot of articles, Nicole, where teachers are relating to each other saying how they don't look forward to it. Now, if I was a teacher, I'd be so anxious to put a face and like an attitude to the parents of these kids. Like it almost would probably make sense. Like if little Johnny is like an annoying piece of shit, and then all of a sudden like, you know, Carl and Barbara come in and they're like, hey, what's going on? You're like, oh, that's why Johnny's a little piece of shit.
Look, right.
I feel like I would love to connect the dots as a teacher. Be like, oh, cute little Cindy. Oh, look at her. Her mom's gorgeous. Her dad's like the, you know, her dad's like the handsome business guy. Like, I feel like I would love to
match up the kids and see why, if it makes sense, their behavior in school. Okay, I get that.
I feel from a psychological standpoint, that's fun. But there, I found the to-do and to-don't list for teachers.
Did. Okay, wait, just so quickly, I think I did two don't things, right? So you don't lead with, my kid's awful. My kid's an awful human. And you don't tell the teacher that you're going to stalk them because you know their address. Good. Okay, put those on the don't list. Next, what do we got?
Yeah, and don't be like, how you doing to your teacher, your kid's teacher. How you doing?
Yeah, no, don't do that. Not cool.
Or I wonder, though, if a mom could offer to get her kid extra credit, if you know what I mean.
Seriously?
No.
You had to.
No.
Or also, don't be one of those people who goes long and keeps asking like annoying questions. These teachers literally have like the 8 to 10 minutes and like they're timed. And I know there's assholes who are like, okay, one more thing. And it goes into the next person's time. Don't be that asshole. Don't be that asshole.
And by the way, don't be delusional that your kid's perfect.
Yes. No, I mean, it's,
you went
yes.
in the opposite. You were like, is he terrible? Like there's probably people that have little Lampwick, remember the bad kid from Pinocchio?
Yes,
like,
yes.
There's probably parents that have crappy little kids and they're like, my kid?
Yes, no, what? Little Johnny?
Would never do that.
Oh, Lucy, no, she's my angel. Yeah, you don't want to do that, come on.
All right, here's what you should do.
Okay.
Be prepared to cite specific examples of their work or behavior because parents would be like, well, give me an example. Like if you're like, yeah, Keegan's a little boisterous.
What do you mean?
Have an example because Matt or you is going to be like, well, what do you mean?
Okay, so the teacher should have examples of to back up whatever they're saying. Okay, good. Okay.
Sandwich negative information because parents never want to hear how bad their kid is. So the
don't
old
lead
sandwich,
with the
like,
bad stuff.
Positive, negative, positive.
Got
like,
it.
Keegan is super creative, Nicole.
Right.
I mean, he can be loud and, you know, kick other kids.
He
but
does
he heli- is also
he helicopters,
a very much a leader.
He helicopters his dick every once in a while. But you know what? It's just, you know what? He's just getting some extra energy out. Yeah.
Be tactful.
Mm-hmm.
Communicate any concerns with clarity and sensitivity. Display all the students' work and don't leave any students out because some parent might be like, where's my kid's artwork?
Right, right.
Emphasize the positive. Keep the focus on the kid. Don't talk about other kids.
Okay. Okay. Like, well, I know that so-and-so does this. Right. You want to try to focus on that one kid. That makes sense.
Do all the talking, and then at the end, ask the parent for feedback. Don't let the parent lead it.
See, that was a weird thing because one of the teachers was like, so let's just start. Like, what are you hoping that, like, Parker will achieve this year? Like that. And I was just like, well, no. That's not how this works. You're the parent, or you're the teacher. Sorry, I'm the parent. You're the teacher. Tell me what's happening. I'm not the teacher. Also, you know what's something that I did weird? I don't know why this happened to me. But it was the end of the night. The music teacher that I had the parent-teacher conference with, Mr. I'll protect his identity as well. Mr. Tony.
Mr. Whiskers? Tone,
no, Mr. Yes, Mr. Whiskers. Mr. Whiskers, I was sitting, it was the end of the night, and I had worked out, I'd already showered, I had all my makeup off, and I was like, oh, this is so annoying, I have to put on a little bit of makeup for Mr. Whiskers. And Matt's like, you're not putting on makeup for Mr. Whiskers, like, you're not doing that. And I was like, I look hideous right now, like, I don't want him to think, like, I'm, like, a schlub. And, like, Matt told me, like, who cares, like, we're at home, this is the beauty of the pandemic, and I feel like I regret doing that, like, I wish, I feel like Mr. Whiskers was judging me the whole time because he thought I looked like schlubby, and, like, I didn't look, like, pretty and, like, cool and, like, professional.
Sorry, Mr. Whiskers no longer wants to fuck you. Sorry, Nicole. Damn it. Let me ask you one more thing about the parent-teacher conference, and we'll move on, because everyone's going to deal with this at one point or the other, or another, if they have kids or, you know, or a teacher.
Right.
Do you feel as though you need to take what the teachers are saying very serious? Because look at it this way.
No.
They're just other grown-ups, right? Like, you're a 30-something-year-old mom. Matt's a 40-year-old dad. All these teachers are just other adults that, you know, like, if you look at a teacher, right? This sounds like, I'm not trying to sound like a dick, but if you look at a teacher and you're like, my teacher's history teacher is a jerk-off. I don't really care what they say about my kid because I don't like them.
Yeah, well, you're going to have those, but then you're also going to get ones that are, like, very young. Like, we have, she has, like, one teacher, like, her remote teacher is very, very young, like, straight
how
out of college.
Young? How hot?
Yeah, that was the one we had that we had an issue with, remember? Because Matt was like, whoa, Ms. Ruby is super, super sexy. The thing is you can't take it too much to heart, but I think that you need to listen to what they have to say. They're with your kid a good majority of the day when they are in person, and they are getting to know them as a person, and I think that they know a few things that you don't know. So you got to find a happy medium.
Oh, by the way, Nicole.
What?
I have a theory.
Yeah? You always have theories. You have so many Rich Davis theories.
I have a theory that Dr. Seuss.
Oh, gosh.
I have a theory that the people that run the estate of Dr. Seuss are geniuses.
Why?
You know how they recently took, like, a handful of Dr. Seuss books out of production?
Yeah, said that they were racist. They also just said he was straight up racist. Like, that's what the narrative is at the moment.
Yeah, but I mean, they're still doing Dr. Seuss Week at my kid's school. They're, you know, Dr. Right. Seuss has a lot of great children's books.
Right.
But what they've done is they have deemed 6 books not appropriate, right? Whether it's racial images
or aren't,
like...
Aren't a lot of those, like, not even books that we've ever even... Like, not Dr. Seuss books that we know, like, by name?
Aha!
Aha!
And I'll tell you why. Here's the fun of it. Here's the genius of it. The genii of it. Oh. If you're the estate of Dr. Seuss, and you realize that some of these older books have, I don't know, like, an Asian person with, like, slanted eyes and, you know, racial... depictions and
right,
teeth
right.
and whatever.
I get it.
They are now saying, I'm going to get rid of these books. So what does half the country do? Half the country is like, I hate cancel culture.
And the other half goes and buys all the books.
So books that no one cared about.
They turned
into
something.
We're talking Dr. Seuss books. This wasn't Green Eggs and Ham. This
right,
wasn't
right,
the Lorax.
Right.
These are like the bunk collection of Dr.
Right.
Seuss. Now you have people on one side of the political aisle that are all like, aha.
Yeah.
They're going to get rid of these Dr. Seuss books over my dead body.
Right,
and
right,
now,
right.
People are ordering these Dr. Seuss books
that no one ever would have given a fuck about. Yeah.
Never would have given a fuck about. It's like when they took away Aunt Jemima. Who gave a fuck? But you know, there are people that fake care. They fake care, like, how could you do that? I'm telling you, it's like a reverse thing. So I almost want to think about what could we say, Nicole? Like,
I don't know. I don't think I'm as smart as Dr. Seuss's estate. The fact that you're even throwing me into the realm of that possibility is very sweet of you. I don't believe that I have the brains to be able to come up with something that genius.
Like, maybe if we're like, yeah, I think they're going to, you know, Nicole said something a little crazy. I think they're going to cancel Have Kids, They Said. Then half the people will be like, cancel it? I hate cancel culture. Everyone's got to listen. Like,
oh my
maybe.
Gosh. Can we start that rumor and then everyone will subscribe? Oh my God. Have Kids, They Said will literally be a national treasure.
See? I'm just saying.
Okay.
Just
right.
saying. Just throwing it out there. And one last thing before I forget, I wanted your take on it this week. Because it has
your
to do with
ADD
parenting.
Is kicking like whoa today.
It has to do with parenting because he goes to find his illegitimate bastard child in New York. Did you watch Coming to America?
No, I didn't yet. We're going to watch. I promise we're watching this weekend. I know. I blew it.
Loved it.
Everybody does.
The people that hated it, I don't know what they were expecting, Nicole. It was It was fantastic as far as like reminiscing and nostalgia. So there you go. You'll enjoy it.
Okay. I'm super excited about it. I know it's going to be really, really good. I love the first one more than anything in the world. Are you and Sarah in a fight or are you okay? Because I know it's very hard for you that she's now kind of, she's been busy. Like, I feel like busy, not just with the kids now. She's like kind of got a little work thing going.
She's working more. And at first I was like, fantastic, because it's like, well, more money for the family.
Of course.
And for a long time, she was just doing the mom thing, and I was the sole breadwinner.
Right.
And now she's working as well, and there's a part of me that's like, stop it. Because I'm so used to her not being so busy that I'm used to being able to live my life. I don't want your life.
I don't want your life. Sarah, you don't want my life. I need to be able to get away from these damn kids.
No, don't get me wrong. It benefits our family when she works and
of course
extra money and better for everything. But I would imagine a lot of couples, maybe every couple at some point goes through this where both parents are working full time. One parent's working, the other's
right.
A stay-at-home parent. There are times where someone's working part-time, the other person's working different hours. Listen, it's life. I get it. But when you're so used to one way, any adjustment to that is going to make the person that's always been working be like, hey, is it even worth you working?
Did you say that to her?
Please
tell me you didn't. Please don't tell me you said that to her.
Well, then I started breaking down. I was like, well, you're doing all this work. And if you break down how much work you're putting in, like, is it even worth it?
Tell me you said that to her. Oh, God. Okay. Listen to me. I know what you're talking about. And I know you because even trying to get us to record this podcast every week can be very challenging. We're both very busy, you more than ever. And I feel as though that you got very used to, because she would kind of just took care of the kids, you got very, very used to just being able to be like, oh, got to do this, sorry, and throwing the kids at her. And you now having the kids thrown at you is like, oh. You're on overload freaking out. Like, you don't know what to do, but like, don't say that. Don't say that to her and diminish what she's doing when she probably has something that's like making her, like helping feed her identity and making her feel like she's got something else besides the kids, because it can be very lonely when you only have the kids. It really can.
I know what you're saying is right.
Well, then don't say something so fucking dickheadish.
Well, as my wife said, stop acting like you're babysitting your own children.
Exactly. That's exactly what you're doing. You know what's funny? Sometimes Parker will go, we're going out for, I'll say I'm going out for dinner with some friends or something. And she'll go, who's babysitting me? Daddy. And I'm like, he's not a babysitter. It's his job to take care of you. It's my job to take care of you. When we hire someone, we pay them. That's a babysitter. Daddy's not babysitting. He's just home.
Sarah did point out that for years, it's been like anything I need to do, like, oh, I got to make this call. I'm going to go grab a coffee. I'm going to go do this. She's
whenever you wanted.
Yeah. Last night she was on a Zoom call that went late. And I was like, I had to like get the kids ready for bed and do all this stuff. I'm like, what's the deal?
Your wife sometimes didn't get to take a shower. That's how crazy she was with the kids. As you ran around, gallivanted around taking calls and Zooming and interviewing celebrities and doing your show. And I mean, give her a second, okay? You're a dad, okay? It took two to tango, all right? You put your penis, you put the P and the V, and you made those babies together, okay?
Yeah. I don't know. It's an adjustment for everyone, because I'm not used to someone else being like, hey, I got to do this. Here, watch your kids, and they're all yours. Go.
Yeah, get used to it. Remember, whenever you say are about to say something so fucking visceral, like, is it even worth you working? Just think about putting the P in the V. You did that, and you made a B. The P went in the V, and you made a B. Do you understand?
But is it even worth it?
No, it is worth it. She needs this. She's working. She's contributing. Shut your fucking mouth.
Oof,
I want to slap you through this Zoom screen so bad. You have no idea.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So you said that's pretty bad. I, you can't say that shit. Okay. I, did she look at you and say, did you really just say this to me? Because that is some fucked up shit, Rich. I would be in a fight for no less than 24 hours if Matt said something like that to me.
We don't stay mad at each other long, but I did go to break down, like, is the money worth it?
Okay. Well, rip up those pieces of paper and shut your mouth.
Like, if you're working this many hours,
I'm going to kill you.
You're supposed to be working this, but you're doing extra stuff. Like, you know, you start thinking about, like, come on.
I don't know.
You're making my life harder.
All right, so that's pretty bad, and you've got my blood boiling a little bit, but I think possibly what Keegan said this week, or what he sang, was worse than that. It was worse than saying something so horrible to your lovely wife, Sarah. I literally stopped and was like, oh no. So we're hanging out, and like the kids are, I'm like cleaning shit up, and all of, I gotta get them ready because we're going somewhere. And so I'm like picking out clothes, and Keegan's like in his underwear, kind of like walking around in circles, just like picking up things and throwing them on the ground, just wreaking havoc like he is wont to do. And all of a sudden I hear him go, macaroni in a pot. That's some wet. That's some wet. And do you know what song that is?
I believe that is WAP
that
by Cardi B.
WAP by Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. Now, he did say that's some wet, that's some wet. He didn't say that's some wet-ass pussy, which is actually the chorus of the song. But the fact that he knew the lyrics, macaroni in a pot, that's some wet. The clean version, I'm air quoting, the clean version is that's some wet, that's some wet. They don't say that's some wet-ass pussy. So he doesn't know that part. Thank the Lords. Or Lord. I don't believe in many.
But hey, you what? Play that music on Hits 1 and don't blink an eye at it.
No, we never played WAP on Hits 1, okay?
Oh, really?
Never played WAP on Hits 1, on Sirius XM Hits 1.
Oh, wow.
No. They couldn't, because we'll always do the cleaner version on our pop channel, because that's what they can do. And they take bitch out turns to B, or they just bleep it out, or it just, they say it differently.
So did you play the clean version or no version?
No version. Because if you break down the lyrics, there is nothing clean about this song. Every single lyric is vile. And I don't know where he heard it. And I don't know why he knows macaroni in a pot. There you go. So now you understand why macaroni in a pot. That's some wet, that's some wet. And I looked at him, and the first thing I said was, no, don't sing that. Which means he's going to sing it all day fucking long. So he's walking around singing about wet ass pussies without actually saying wet ass pussy. But like, why does he know that song? And Parker said she showed it to him. So there's
Mom of the year.
So I think we might have to start monitoring the old iPad use a little bit closer, the old YouTube use. Again, she showed him the clean, air quoting clean version, but you don't want your four-year-old walking around singing macaroni in a pot. That's some wet. It's a very catchy song. I mean, I don't blame him for wanting to sing it, but yeah, four-year-old should not be singing about pussy. Just FYI.
No. Lessons learned.
Yeah.
All right, Nicole, I think it's time to give me a minute. Do you mind?
No, yeah, of course. Let me just get my trusty timer out. Let's see what we got here. Okay.
Speaking of parent-teacher conferences earlier, remember when your teacher said, what do you think? You're going to have a calculator in your pocket?
I mean, look at this. Thank you, Steve Jobs. Rest
in peace.
Guess
what, yo?
Yeah. We do, bitch. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go.
There are a few times in life where you just have to pay an exorbitant amount of money for something so not worth it just because it's for your kid, right? I'm not even talking about like the expensive price of daycare and schooling and all that.
Right.
I'm talking about something as simple as picture day.
Yes, we have our picture
day
coming up.
Think about all the great pictures you take of your kid. Life has changed, Nicole. You have better pictures of your kid on your iPhone, on your tablet, than any person that goes to a school and takes pictures of kids could get.
Right.
The best picture of Keegan and the best picture of Parker are not posed sitting on a stool with a laser background in a school photo. Meanwhile, I was like, oh, sure, $66 or $68 sounds totally normal for like shitty photos of my daughter at school.
We all do it.
I debated not doing it. I'm like, I have to.
That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life. The fact that you just even debated not doing it. What is the matter with you? You have to do it. Yes, our pictures on our iPhones are way better, but like, it's that photo that's just like, it's that memory. It's just kind of like when you go on vacation, you have vacation, like you have a picture of you in front of like, I don't know, the castle in Disney World. You don't need that, but it's like you were there. It's, I don't know. It's like,
oh,
the, it's
sweet.
The school.
Me on Splash Mountain, 30 yeah, bucks. Perfect.
Need it. Necessary.
All right.
Okay.
You get a minute to vent. What do you got before we get out of here?
Okay. So,
you can go, by the way. I've started your timer.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry. So in the morning when I'm up at the butt crack of dawn, when nobody else is awake and I'm doing my radio show, everybody is sound asleep. This morning, Keegan happened to be up at the same time, which is 6 a.m., which is way too early for him and for me to even have to be dealing with him while I'm doing a national radio show. And I'm not exhausted. Well, I am exhausted. I'm exhausted every morning of my fucking life. I still throw like a full-blown fit every time my alarm rings. But I usually order food from a little deli downstairs, right? Because I like to eat first thing in the morning. I wake up hungry. I'm just one of those people. When you used to do the radio show with me, Rich, yeah. You know this. We used to order immediately. We were always hungry. So I order myself a little bacon, egg, and cheese. And all of a sudden I hear like the knock at the door and I hear Keegan go, "Come in. Come in? You're just inviting the bodega deli guy to come into my house at 6:15 a.m.? You're not coming in." And I ran out and I was like, oh my God, like, thank God I wasn't on the air. Like, what if he did and then stole him? Like, I looked at him. I was like, what do you mean come in? He was like, well, you always tell that somebody to just come in. And I do if like the nanny gets there, or if we have friends coming over, we just say, they knock and we say, come in. But like, not the deli guy. Deli man, you are not invited to my house. Do not come in.
No, my daughter did the same at the park recently. Like, she was playing with some kid she met, I don't know, 30 seconds earlier, and like followed the kid to their van. And I'm like, what? Whoa.
No, you told us this, I think, a couple episodes ago. Yeah. Oh,
I was like, yo.
Then you had the stranger danger talk. Yeah, you got to do it. You got to do it. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. I'm exhausted. I'm like sweating from this episode for some reason. I'm exhausted.
Always exhausted.
I feel like I've been through a war.
I realize we've passed the easiest years of our life. Is that the saddest statement?
It is, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. If you've enjoyed it, subscribe. If you still have the best years of your life ahead of you, subscribe. We've got new episodes for you every single Thursday, and hopefully you're enjoying being part of the Have Kids They Said and Be Fun They Said family.
Yeah, if you love us, then hey, tell a friend, rate us 5 stars, leave a review, all that good stuff. Kelsey Albright is our producer, who is super awesome. We love her.
Die for her. I'm Nicole Ryan. You can listen to me on the Morning Mashup weekday mornings when you wake up at 6 a.m. on Sirius XM Fitz 1.
I am Rich Davis. You can listen to my daily podcast, all the details at Covino and Rich, and of course on Sirius XM Pop 2K when you want to hear your fair dose of Nelly or Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
I'm your guy.
Have Kids, They Said.
Yeah, it'll be fun, they said.
It's a Sirius XM production.
Sirius XM Podcasts.